When I was a kid, like most other kids since the beginning of time, I begged my parents for the latest and greatest thing on the market. For me, it was the Buck Rogers action figures and the Hot Wheels car wash. Sometimes I'd get the toy and I'd play with it forever, and sometimes I'd get the toy and play with it for 2 seconds before I got bored. I have the same experience with my own kid. She's now 11. There is now this online tool called Gifting Sense that is trying to help kids make better consumer decisions. Joining me now is its founder, Karen Holland. She joins us from Utterson, Ontario. Hello there.
Hi.
Why did you invent Gifting Sense? It's brilliant, by the way. I've tried it. I've tested it out. But where did the idea come from? Why did you put the work into it?
Well, I'm an economist by training, and I was married about 10 years before my son was born. I've always been a very efficient, my friends would say, penurious individual.
Ooh,
and
work.
And we had this little boy, and so we started to have first family birthday parties when he was a little guy, and then, you know, school friend birthday parties. And between school and winter holiday gift-giving scenarios, the amount of waste that I was experiencing, not only in my own family, but witnessing it in my extended family and in the friends' family settings, it really made me crazy. And I just have a thing about waste. I say to my friends, I have a serious distaste for waste.
And so I have the same thing.
Actually, I have to say, I spent some time getting to know you when I was approached about this interview, and I think you and I have a lot in common.
I think we have a lot in common. Okay, so I went through the Gifting Sense platform, and basically, I'll shortcut it here. You put in the item, your kid, and ideally it's the kid that does this, but I did this on behalf of my daughter. You put the item in, you can name the thing, you can put a photo up if you'd like, and then it goes through a bunch of variables, cost, and all that stuff. One of the things that it asks is, how much will you use this particular thing? How do you address the disconnect between how much someone thinks they will use a thing and how much they will actually use the thing? Because I used the remote control car that she got for her birthday, and It turned out to be $3 per use. And I thought I was generous in terms of how much she would use it.
What we're really trying to do is immunize children against developing poor spending habits and all the downstream issues those create later in life. So what happens is, when kids answer these questions, and then, you know, there's an automatically generated PDF summary at the end of the gift survey. That's our pithy little name for a potential purchase questionnaire. And it shows what the calculated DIM score is and the cost per use, or if it's an experience they're looking for, the total cost of the experience, which includes, you know, safe transportation, snacks, souvenirs, because you don't just go to a Taylor Swift concert for the price of a ticket.
You need merch.
Right. When the children complete that process, they know in the privacy of their own heart if they've gamed it or not. In fact, I mean, whenever we do a workshop in a classroom, I let the teachers know, like, set your watch to it. The first thing that happens when they finish is they ask if they can do it again, because they're so intuitive and digital is so iterative. They know almost immediately if that score is in the range that their own parents are going to want it to be in, and they want to take another run at it and see if they can answer the questions differently and game their score. Does that bother me? Not at all. Because you know what they're really getting? They're getting this quick but meaningful introduction to the components of a well thought out decision. And the PDF summary, it's like their own little PowerPoint for, okay, now I'm going to go and talk to my mom and dad about, you know, why I would like this. Now, I will tell you, children are shocked to discover that they change what they want. And they're equally surprised to see how quickly their parents get behind a request when it's backed with evidence of thought.
100%.
Right?
You ask a bunch of other variables here that I think are worthy of including, and that is, does it get you outside? Does it involve music? Does it help you build things with your hands? How come those all make the decision set?
Because I was trying to say to children, look at your children, your parents want you to be happy. They want you to grow and develop in all sorts of positive ways. So if you want to get something, wrap it in the lessons and experiences they want you to have. I'm teaching them really, I mean, look at the rich dream is that thinking before buying becomes thinking before doing almost anything, right?
Mm. Yeah. DIMS score. There is a DIMS score, and I assume that's not dim-witted.
No, it stands for does it make sense score. And it's a number from 1 to 10. 1 to 6 is a want, 7 to 10 is a need. It's okay to buy wants. Everybody does. We just want kids to recognize the full value of what it is they're asking for and whether or not they'll really use and appreciate it before they ask for it. And you know, thinking before buying, this is the one thing I really want kids to understand. And they do when we finish a workshop, and it's so exciting. Thinking before buying does not mean you never get to buy anything fun. It means you plan your spending and avoid buyer's remorse.
There are a whole bunch of lessons here. I'd love a couple others. So financial literacy, thinking before buying, what other skills does this tool build, do you think?
Planning in advance, using your manners, being gracious. it gets you to think about the environment. I mean, one of the questions we ask kids at the end of all workshops is, okay, we hope that you realize that thinking before buying helps everyone. It helps you be thoughtful about what you ask for. It helps the people who care about you avoid wasting time and money purchasing something that you are never going to use, wear, whatever. It helps the planet. Why is that? Because landfills, as you probably know, are filled with quote unquote gently used articles of clothing or toys, earrings that never were worn or gloves or whatever. If we think before we buy, if we thoughtfully request what we might like to receive for a holiday or a birthday gift, those things don't end up in landfills. I mean, just think about what would happen if we have 50 million children in Canada and the US alone. If every one of those kids in grades 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 thought really hard twice a year before they bought something or put it on a wish list, we've got a generation of kids who are entering high school prepped. They are ready for full-on financial literacy.
I am sure you hear from parents like me who are like, oh, well, it's designed for children, but well, I'm at it. I might try it. What insight do you hear from parents? Are they horrified by their own behavior and their own thinking?
Well, I do get that a lot. I mean, it runs the gambit. I have spouses telling me that their spouse needs it. I'm like, not you, but your spouse.
Yes.
I mean, I've had all sorts of interesting conversations. I mean, some parents have said, you know, they hadn't really thought about the full cost of a night out until they were adding in safe transportation, snack, and souvenirs to experiences that their kids wanted. And they're like, you know, by the time you think about the Uber and the babysitter, forget about what it costs to go to the restaurant. So I think it's given people food for thought. But you know, look, we give kids gifts all the time. And at the same time, adults are pretty openly vocal about wishing they'd learned more about money when they were younger. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the stakes were lower. And they're saying that because, you know, they've had the experience of making a financial misstep and then having to spend a lot of time digging out from it. So, you know, I just think if we could get kids into the habit of thinking before buying, they can avoid a lot of that drama. There's a thing in economics, I'm sure you're aware of it, a positive externality. A positive externality accrues when the benefit of a purchase is experienced by more than just the person who bought it. So the classic example is immunization, right? You get immunized, you don't get sick, but neither do your siblings, neighbors, cousins, classmates, whatever. Financial literacy for children who have their whole lives in front of them offers such a massive positive externality. It's good for them right now and their parents, their immediate family, and their extended family. It's good for their future employer, their future life partner. Like, think about the ripple effect of somebody getting into the habit of thinking before they buy, before they enter high school. It's massive. It's so exciting.
Genius. I'm excited. Giftingsense.org is the website. Karen, thank you so much for your time.
My absolute pleasure.
And also for inventing this thing. I think it's genius.
You keep up your great work because you're doing some great work.
I'll do my best. Tell that to my 11-year-old. Not sure she'll
Okay, well, listen, you're 10 years away, but I promise you'll get there.
She'll appreciate me eventually.
Yes,
all right.
Yes.
Karen Holland, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Bruce.